1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. One of the top reasons why people go to the doctor's office is because of dizziness. Dr. Kevin Kerber is a neurologist at the University of Michigan Health System who studies dizziness and is one of the country's top authorities on the topic. Kevin, great to have you on WILS.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, when people are showing up at the emergency room, how bad can it get?
Dizziness can definitely be a disabling symptom. People are oftentimes unable to function, can't walk, nausea, vomiting, and horrible spinning sensation or other kinds of dizziness.
How long can it go on for?
It depends on the cause. Some of them are very brief but recur in multiple episodes, and other causes can go on for days at a time.
Yeah. Is it something difficult to get to pin down the actual cause of it?
It can be. There are several challenges. One is there's a lot of overlap among types of symptoms, so the symptoms oftentimes don't help us sort things out. A lot of times patients feel very sick, and they don't want to move, even though we really need them to move in certain ways for us to assess what the likely causes are. And some of the exam findings can overlap a bit also. And the causes really range from things that are relatively benign and self-limited to other causes that can be life-threatening and dangerous.
Okay. Well, what's the most benign cause of dizziness, then?
So the most benign cause would likely be low blood pressure in terms of common causes that are relatively easy to fix. Now, whenever we say benign, we always hesitate a little bit because patients don't oftentimes view those as benign. When we use the word benign, we mean not life-threatening and likely to improve with some certain adjustments. But they can even those symptoms can be quite disabling to patients.
Low blood pressure, is that just a medication you give them at that point? Or?
When people have low blood pressure, the most common reason is they're dehydrated. So getting fluids, a lot of times they can be medication side effects. So reducing medicines is another way to help that.
Okay. Now, the most serious reason why someone would start feeling dizzy a lot, what would that be?
The most serious common reason is stroke. And so whenever patients come into the emergency room, we really are concerned when they have dizziness to make sure we do as good a job as we can that evaluating them for stroke. Those are usually patients who have very severe symptoms that are persistent and not going away.
And how long would that, if it's a stroke, how long would they have had the symptoms before they show up at the hospital usually?
Well, it depends. Most people who have it and actually have a stroke, they actually take longer than we hope for them to get to the emergency room. If people can get there within 3 hours, 4 hours, there are medications that we can give for clot busters that can help improve those symptoms. But most people wait longer.
Uh-huh. Why is it dizziness someone feels rather than pain, for example, in that situation?
Can you repeat that question?
Why is it they feel dizzy if they're having a stroke rather than pain? Why is it the dizziness that they
Oh, right, yeah.
From?
So the people will have dizziness. The symptoms that people get related to stroke depend on where the stroke is occurring. So the largest portion of the brain is the front part, and that's where people have speech and strength and sensation. But the back part of the brain, the cerebellum and the brainstem, have really dense fibers that are related to orientation in space and coordination and control of our eye movements. And when those things go have problems with them, that's when people report dizziness as a symptom and balance problems.
Dr. Kevin Kerber with us, a neurologist at the University of Michigan Health System. With pain, I guess people tell you, 1 to 10, right? Is there a similar thing with dizziness when you're trying to get a sense of how serious it is?
Right. So we oftentimes do ask people to tell us how severe it is in terms of 1 to 10. The severity doesn't help us sort things out as much as do other symptoms that go along with it. And the exam and people's baseline risk for having certain causes.
You say go along with it. Is nausea typically a part of being dizzy?
Nausea is tightly linked with dizziness, particularly when the vestibular system is involved. That's the inner ear balance system that also has pathways through the brain, and that is tightly linked with the stomach and nausea symptoms.
Okay, so what does that tell you if someone's saying, I feel nauseous right now?
If it's nauseous and dizziness, to be honest with you, it doesn't really help us sort things out that much. Those people might have a little bit higher chance of having a vestibular disorder, but nausea is so common anyways that just the fact that somebody has nausea and dizziness shouldn't really drive us down one pathway as opposed to another just on its own.
So typically, is it episodic where it's there for, 30 minutes, then it goes away, or is it continue? How do you find the most cases to be?
Well, one of the things we try to do, we try to identify as best we can, is a condition called benign positional vertigo. And people who have that usually have very brief episodes triggered by movement of their head, like rolling over in bed or looking up or even laying down in bed. We try to look for that really hard because that's something that we have a high level of confidence can be fixed very quickly with great studies to show that. So
really?
That's one thing that yes.
Is that now what is that, the blood pressure issue then, or?
That's not a blood pressure issue. That's these little particles that get dislodged in the inner ear, and they float around in the fluid in the inner ear. We can't see them because this is deep in the bone, but they have characteristic effects so that when people turn their head, the particles basically tickle a nerve ending, which is connected to your eyes, and it makes your eyes bounce in a specific way. And when your eyes bounce, you feel quite dizzy. But it's just brief for as long as those particles move.
Okay. And how do you fix that?
So that is, there's a maneuver. The most common one is called the Epley maneuver, where people lay back and kind of roll over in a certain way, and it gets the particles to move around the canal. It's a semicircular canal, so it's almost in the shape of a circle, and we have to get them to move from the bottom of that circle all the way up to the top. So it's really just a specific way to lay back and roll over that can get the particles out into a place where they don't cause symptoms.
Interesting. And that's how they have to move their head basically permanently to avoid dizziness?
No, once they're out, this is really kind of one of the a medical breakthrough with a fascinating story, but it's something that's substantially underused as best we can tell in medicine, despite it being one of our best opportunities with dizziness to actually help people. So that once the particles are out of the canal, they're in a middle chamber in the ear where they don't cause symptoms. Oh. And so you can get them, you don't actually get rid of the particles, you just move them to a place where they don't cause symptoms.
Oh, and they say, how did the particles get in there in the first place?
Those particles are normally on a membrane in a certain part of the ear. And for reasons that aren't entirely clear, they can fall off that membrane and float around in the fluid. Yeah. It definitely happens more often as people get older. It also happens if people get a bump on the head that can kind of release them. But when they're in one part of that main part of the chamber, they don't cause symptoms. But if they get into one of the canals that comes off that main chamber, that's where they can get stuck and wreak havoc.
One last thing. What's the percentage of these patients with dizziness? What percentage are actually simply dehydrated?
That's a great question. It's a pretty substantial proportion. When you look at total all causes of dizziness, that a substantial proportion of those would be low blood pressure dehydration. It's hard to know for sure, but that's got to be probably in the ballpark of 10% or something like that.
It's typically caused by medications, though, you're saying?
Medications very commonly cause low blood pressure, but just being dehydrated, not drinking enough fluid, in and of itself, without any medicine, can do that.
Yeah, and you've been studying dizziness. That's one of your primary focuses, right, dizziness?
Right, yes. Yeah. Here at the University of Michigan, I have a specific clinic in the Department of Neurology that's focused on dizziness.
Yeah. Have you ever had any issues with it yourself?
I actually have. It's very common, and research suggests that about 15% of people in the population have had problems with dizziness in the last year. And I've had various different. I've had low blood pressure at times, and other things as well. So, it's very common.
Is it worse than pain?
Is it worse than pain? That's a good question. I think it's all on a spectrum, and it depends on how bad the pain is and how bad the dizziness is. The thing about dizziness, though, usually when people have pain, there's less of a mystery in terms of what the cause is. You oftentimes hit yourself or you injure something, and you know it's clear and bothersome. The thing with dizziness is oftentimes when people have dizziness, it's not clear what the cause is. So not only do you have the symptom, but you have this underlying fear of what's going on. That kind of contributes to people not feeling well.
Right. Well, they probably hope it'll go away at some point, right? And then maybe it doesn't.
Correct.
Dr. Kevin Kerber, a neurologist at the University of Michigan Health System, right here on 1320 WILS. Dr. Kerber, thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
We'll be right back. You are listening to 1320 WILS.